Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. Today we're celebrating the feast of the martyrdom of Polycarp. He's a very famous saint and martyr in the history of the church. I just want to read some of the account of his martyrdom. It's such a good thing for us to be able to reflect on the heroic love that's been expressed by the martyrs, especially in challenging times when it's getting a little sticky, a little harder, a little more challenging for people to follow in the footsteps of Jesus openly in the culture. There's things that the church teaches, that Christ himself has taught, the apostles taught us, that's come right down to this moment in the life of the church about the commandments of God and what God expects and how God made us and how he desires us to live, and that large portions of society used to embrace no longer do, rejecting it, and the church simply can't deny those things. It can't change the teaching of Jesus. We have to walk now as faithful witnesses to the Lord right to the end. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're not fighting against people. We're in a spiritual battle, an epic spiritual battle between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. The devil's always contesting. He's always attempting to undermine the faith, to get people to compromise, to get us to fall asleep to the faith, or to pressure us with fear to cause us to deny and walk away from the faith. I think in some ways, you know, we are experiencing a little bit of challenge now, and nothing quite like Polycarp's got going here, but it could come, the kind of thing that he's talking about. And you see, we see many people walking away from the faith who were once baptized. And there's various reasons for that expressed. And some people say, you know, it's because of the sins of the church, or it's because, you know, science has disproved, things like that, that are playing a role in people's perception of why they should leave. But at the end of the day, one of the reasons I think they're leaving in larger numbers is one, many of them who were baptized were not really converted. That is really radically given over to Christ as Lord and Savior in their life, and having made a decision to a serious, mature decision in faith to say, my life is no longer my own. I belong to him. He's my Lord. He's God. I am who he says I am. And, you know, to know him now is to live radically by faith and hope in him and loving God and loving neighbor. That's my life. That's the truth. That's what I'm going to live. So most people who leave never really lived in that space of faith and confidence in God. And so when the pressure comes, or it gets disrupted by arguments that seem to undermine it in different ways, people get easily tossed to and fro. And so that's partly what's there. But it could get a lot worse than that. It could get to the point where people who are forming what Archbishop Gomez described at the Bishop's Conference as a pseudo-religion is emerging, or Pope Benedict called it the spirit of the Antichrist. An Antichrist spirit has emerged in this time with a new Antichrist spiritual religion sort of that's emerging. So it's heating up, the conflict. And what that usually means is those who are caught up in the darkness are going to increasingly grow with an intense kind of spiritual fervor of certainty about their position. And the devil will move the chips on the board in the world to make it look like the problems of the world are coming from certain people, their beliefs, their attitudes, the things that they've trapped us in for centuries. And they're going to say, the only way we can live now in the freedom that's there and the only good life is to remove these people who are the source of all our problems. That's probably on the horizon. It could be happening soon, but it's certainly going to be on the horizon before Jesus returns. I mean, before the Lord returns, the literal Antichrist, and it could be happening in our time. I don't know that, but there's nobody who can say it's not happening for certain either. And that spirit rises, and the scripture's pretty clear. The words of Jesus are pretty clear. Before he comes, large sections of the world and of the church are going to turn and come under the power and domination of the Antichrist, and those who are seriously following Jesus are going to experience the kind of thing that Polycarp experienced. It's going to intensify. And so the only way to live that and to be able to be ready for that moment is to begin to live it now, to live it now. That is to surrender fully to Christ now and to allow the Spirit of God to lay hold of us and let your heart be filled. Let your strength grow, because it's all about his life in you and in me that gives us the strength to withstand any kind of opposition, because by nature, we're so filled with self-love, we'll avoid it at every turn. So let's take a look at dimensions of the story of Polycarp today, just to honor the Lord and honor him as well. Around 160 AD, the martyrdom of Polycarp took place. He was the bishop of Smyrna, a city in Asia Minor, which is today Izmir in modern Turkey, devoted to Roman worship. The account is from a letter from eyewitnesses to other churches in the area. It is the earliest chronicle of a martyrdom outside the New Testament. There's a lot here. He was 86 years old. He was probably the last person alive who knew the apostles directly, some of the apostles directly. And he was very, very saintly. And so there's a lot in this letter, but I just want to begin to read what happens once he gets arrested. The police and horsemen came with the young man at supper time on the Friday with their usual weapons as if coming out against a robber. That evening, they found him lying down in the upper room of a cottage. He could have escaped, but he refused. He just simply said, "God's will be done." That's the Lord's Prayer that Jesus taught him. That's a dimension of our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. When he heard that they had come, he went down and spoke with them. They were amazed at his age and steadfastness, and some of them said, "Why did you go to so much trouble to capture a man like this?" Immediately he called for food and drink for them and asked for an hour to pray uninterrupted. They agreed, and he stood and prayed, so full of the grace of God that he could not stop for 2 hours. The men were astounded, and many of them regretted coming to arrest such a godly and venerable old man. Isn't that something? Where is he drawing his strength? You know, he's physically weak. He's 86 years old. But what is he doing? He's drawing near to the Lord. He's entrusting himself. He's not panicking and fighting these guys. He's not trying to escape. He's entrusting his life to God. And then he's drawing strength, strength that he does not have on his own, and the strength that the Lord determined for this moment for him to be able to be a witness to Jesus, a faithful witness to the end. This is what Christianity is about, friends, right here. In a world of tribulation, we who are baptized into Jesus, out of fidelity to Jesus and out of love of neighbor, we are called to be faithful witnesses. That's the most important thing we do on the planet, how we live, how we speak, how we act. It goes on, it says, they tried to get Polycarp to deny Jesus. And he said, a voice came from heaven saying, "Be strong, Polycarp, and play the man. Be a man. Be strong." How about that? He heard a voice from heaven. Others heard it too. The proconsul asked him whether he was Polycarp. On hearing that he was, he tried to persuade him to apostatize, that is to turn away from the faith, deny Jesus. "Have respect for your old age. Swear by fortune of Caesar. Repent and say, down with the atheists," that is, those who refuse to acknowledge Caesar as Dominus Deus Muster, my Lord and my God. Polycarp looked grimly at the wicked heathen multitude in the stadium gesturing toward them, he said, "Down with the atheists, swear, urge the proconsul, reproach Christ, and I will set you free. 86 years have I served him," Polycarp declared, "and he has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my king and my savior?" So the proconsul goes on and says, "I have wild animals I can unleash on you. So repent, repent." And Polycarp said, "It's unthinkable for me to repent from what is good to turn to what is evil. I will be glad, though, to be changed from evil to righteousness. If you despise the animals, I will have you burned. You threaten me with fire, which burns for an hour and is then extinguished. But you know nothing of the fire, of the coming judgment and eternal punishment reserved for the ungodly. Why are you waiting? Bring on whatever you want." Wow. That's supernatural strength. That's freedom. That's an eternal perspective. That's faith, hope, and love. That's standing in the truth. That's being a faithful witness. That's warning the one who has all the power and who's about to light him up. And he says this, you know nothing about the real fire, the fire that's coming with the judgment of God and eternal punishment. Friends, this is real. This is what the church should be saying. This is what the church should believe in her heart. He goes on, it was all done in the time it takes to tell. The crowd collected wood and bundles of sticks from shops and public baths. Goes on to say, Polycarp took off his outer clothes and undid his belt and tried to take off his sandals, something he was not used to, as the faithful always raced to do it for him, each wanting to be the one to touch his skin. This is how good his life was. But when they went to fix him with nails, he said, leave me as I am. For he that gives me strength to endure the fire will enable me not to struggle without the help of your nails. Polycarp prays, ready to be an acceptable burnt offering to God. He looked up to heaven and said, O Lord God Almighty, the Father of your beloved and blessed Son, Jesus Christ, by whom we have received the knowledge of you, the God of angels, powers, and every creature, and of all the righteous who live before you, I give you thanks that you count me worthy to be numbered among the martyrs, sharing the cup of Christ and the resurrection to eternal life, both of soul and body, through the immortality of the Holy Spirit. May I be received this day as an acceptable sacrifice, as you, the true God, have predestined, revealed to me, and now fulfilled. I praise you for all these things. I bless you and glorify you, along with the everlasting Jesus Christ, your beloved Son. To you, with him, through the Holy Ghost, be glory both now and forever. Amen. There's so much there. And then it says the miracle. Then the fire was lit and the flame blazed furiously. We who were privileged to witness it saw a great miracle. This is why we have been preserved to tell the story. The fire shaped into the form of an ark, like the sail of a ship when it filled with wind, and formed a circle around the body of the martyr. Inside it, he looked not like flesh that is burned, but like bread that is baked, or gold and silver glowing in a furnace. And we smelt the sweet scent, like frankincense or some such precious spices. He's being baked, the bread of God. You know, there's just so much here. The Lord's Supper is just amazing. Eventually, when those wicked men saw that his body could not be consumed by fire, they commanded the executioner to pierce him with a dagger. When he did this, such a great quantity of blood flowed from that fire that was extinguished. The crowd was amazed. You see, friends, Polycarp wants to tell us today, we have nothing to fear. He wasn't afraid in that moment. It sounds like the Lord had showed him and said something to him that it was coming in his future. And he probably had moments of great delight that it was coming, others that was fearful. And all these powers of the world, the great Roman Empire that had all the muscle, you know, that could hold out just nation, you know, just huge portions of the world at that time, enslaved to lies and bondage. Followed the Lord, he said, for 86 years, and he was not afraid. Friends, that grace from God is for all who follow the Lord, who desire it. He will give us whatever we need. Be not afraid. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much-needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.